Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready for the weekend. Weekend kickoff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. It is Thursday, September 25th. Steve Geller along with Mike Dottiglia hanging out with you till 7 p.m. Then we got week four of NFL action starting up, coming up on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Plus right here in the game bar and grill, you can come check out the game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks this evening. Should be an interesting NFC West matchup. Two teams we faced already, too, so we know a little bit about them.
Seattle looked damn good to me. That's all I can tell you.
We'll see if they have that much success on special teams against the Cards.
Well, they can't have any more than what they had against the Saints. Come on, Steve. You're really stretching the rubber band on that one. But, you know, Seattle looks to be a team that I know they lost the first game to San Francisco. That was a tough, tough game. Ended up Brock Purdy with a great throw at the end to win it for him. But they look like a team that has gotten better, and now they're starting to get healthy. Devin Weatherspoon is back.
Yeah.
Arguably the best player Seattle had. He hasn't played all year long. And then you got Charbonnet, you know, with Zach. He's coming back. He didn't play against the Saints.
Right.
And I think Julian Love is back, too, their defensive back safety. So, Steve, Arizona's catching it. And, man, I saw their injury list is pretty long. For the Cardinals.
Looking here for the Cards, too, just a 1.5-point favorite at home. Oh, no, they're getting 1.5. I'm sorry, at home.
Yeah, so I could tell you where I would pick. I would pick Seattle, but in that. I know Arizona's played well at home. They've always been a team that has played well early in the season. How they lost last week to San Francisco.
Right.
Well, you had them at the end. And, you know, just kind of let them off the hook and crazy deal. They get a safety, and then 1, 2, 3.
There was a wild week in week three.
Crazy stuff on special teams. But, you know, it happens. I remember Bobby April making the comments that the stuff on special teams, a lot of the stuff that happens normally real early and real late. You know why? Injuries. He says in between you sort of get it straight. But
right.
He said the crazy stuff is normally real early. And then real late, because that special teams guy now, late, he becomes an active player. You know, he's a backup. But now, hey, kid, get in there. You got to start. Oh, okay.
Get on out there.
And so they got another guy that's doing the special teams part of it. So we'll see tonight what happens. But, man, Seattle was just impressive last week against the Saints. And, again, it's Arizona, to me, is a strange team to gauge because they got talent. They got talent. It's just they've not been able to piece it together.
I think the inconsistency of Kyler Murray definitely has a lot to do with it.
Inconsistent on defense, too. you let Mac Jones go all the way downfield at the end of the game. What? Okay, he ain't Joe Montana.
He looked like it to us, though, too.
You know, come on. But, man, you know, and then they got a strange thing going on with their first-round pick, too, with Walter Nolan. He did not play, did not practice one snap in training camp. Had a pulled calf muscle.
Yeah, before, we know right about that calf.
He missed all of it. All that, all preseason. So they put him on that, you know, that IR for 4 weeks. We'll see how quickly they get him back. All I know is last time when LSU played Ole Miss, Walter Nolan was more in the backfield than Garrett Nussmeier. Every play. They tried to double team him, chip him, everything. I mean, he was a force. He showed what everybody thought he was coming out of high school. And that's why he was a first-team All-American last year, too. Man, he pieced it together. But, man, that's a long time for a calf injury. When you're talking about a couple of months for a calf injury. So with the Chase Young deal,
that's right. Great segue into that, right?
It's one of them things. Oh, he'll be out a little while. How
What's
long's
a little,
little while?
Yeah,
you're gonna have to define that little while.
Well, it looks like little while is going to be at least 4 weeks because once again, Mike, at the Saints injury report coming out today for the second straight day, he hasn't practiced dealing with what do you know that calf issue. Also not practicing. Dylan Radin's toe injury for him. That wasn't a surprise to me at all, considering we were here talking about the injury report last week, and boom, they just had Radin's out for
on a Thursday report,
and I was like,
boom,
what?
You're out of here.
They didn't even wait till Friday.
No, and at least Trevor Penning's practicing.
Yeah.
But my thing is all of a sudden he's going to turn into a star player in this league? We saw him in training camp. We saw him in preseason, a couple of plays. He got beat.
Yep.
All this stuff about, oh, I'm right, they moved him inside. He's an inside player. The same technical problems that he had at tackle, he's got at guard. Okay? Well, that's going to follow him. It's not all of a sudden going to get better for Trevor Penning because they kicked him inside to guard. Does it work for some guys? Yes.
Will it work for Penning? To be determined.
Still pass protection. Watch what happens with him.
Right.
He's awkward in pass protection. He gets pushed around. Is he a good run blocker? Yeah. He's not a great run blocker. But, man, you watch him in pass protection, he's all off balance all the time. And, come on, you can't have that inside pressure. That's the worst part about getting pressure. If you Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, Josh Allen, you name them. You don't want to see that guy right up the chute come at you.
Some positive news, too, for the O-line. Taliese Fuaga was limited yesterday as he's still dealing with the knee back issue, which we've talked about. We'll probably see that constantly
every week
throughout the season. He was a full go at practice today. So
that's good news.
The one upgrade for the Saints O-line that looks like it will have its starters out there for this matchup in Buffalo.
We'll see. We'll see. Now, listen, the one thing with the Bills, and Bob and I talked about this yesterday, man, they can't stop a cold. They've given up chunks and chunks. You talk about the Dolphins, who aren't a great rushing team. They rush for over 130 yards, average 5 yards a pop against the Bills. The Bills look like they were half asleep against the Dolphins. Really did. I think they figured, man, we got this game. Had Tua not thrown that late interception, he didn't even see the guy, that linebacker cut,
right?
You know, kind of cut right in front of his receiver, and he threw it right to him. But they were in there, into the fourth quarter. But their ability to run the ball on offense is impressive. What Joe Brady has set up with James Cook, and certainly Josh Allen is who he is. They don't have a number one real receiver, one star receiver. But, man, they distributed all across the board, got three really good tight ends. And now, Steve, I think because of the influx of a lot of tight ends over the last couple drafts, you see more and more teams doing that, two tight end sets. And it's not for blocking. Hey, kid, get out there and catch the ball. You a 6'4", 6'5", guy. Okay, how are you going to match up in the secondary?
Yeah.
Unless you're going up against Pickett at LSU. I mean, nobody's that size in the secondary. If you're looking at a corner, even Kyle Hamilton's got good size for safety, but there's very few guys like that. So, man, the Saints got their hands full with a team that they tsunami you on offense. They really do.
It just seems that everything that the Bills do well,
the Saints don't.
The Saints defense doesn't. You know, mobile quarterback, big physical targets. The run game has been better this year, at least. But James Cook is definitely a scary force, too, that he's living up to his contract right now.
He sure is. And, you know, when we talked to Ryan Nielsen, who's now on the staff with the Bills.
A lot of former black and gold influence over there.
You know, I told him, what's your biggest concern? And he was like, my secondary. And they've been decent in the secondary. I think because it masks a little bit maybe some of the issues they have in the secondary. Teams run the ball on them. Look what the Ravens did against them.
Oh.
I mean, you know, Derrick Henry did fumble late in that game, but, man, Henry, it was like two-hand touch.
Yeah.
You're not bringing me down in the open field. And, it took Josh to go into the telephone booth as Superman to win that game against the Ravens. And no matter how you win it, you win it. But that would be a big concern for me, watching them play on defense for the Bills. And I think they're a fantastic football team, especially on offense. They have talent on defense, but they look to be sometimes out of the wrong gap. You know, like you're supposed to have gap integrity, and you out of it for whatever reason. And now we'll see what happens if Ed Oliver will play in this game.
It's not looking good for him.
Ed's an undersized defensive lineman, and he can haul tail.
Yeah.
His ability to get off that snap into the backfield, Ed Oliver does it really, really good, and he's a really good interior pass rusher.
The biggest thing, too, with that Buffalo offense that's been lethal with Josh Allen, MVP of the league, leading the way, you definitely can't get into a shootout with this squad. There's no way you can keep up with that firepower.
No, the Saints won't.
No.
Saints can't do that.
Exactly.
You know, and so if they jump on you early, you got issues.
It's going to be like last week.
It might well be. And, you know, and Josh is one of those guys that improv a lot. You know,
It's
a certain play, and, but I've seen so-and-so open a little bit farther downfield. And the way the Saints are playing off receivers, man, it gives that big cushion that a guy like Allen's going to take full advantage of. You know what? You got to take chances against him. You got to blitz him. Okay, you're going to get burned one way or another. Just as soon give it a shot. And more this game maybe than the others because of who he is.
You know, Mike, our pressure numbers are god-awful, though.
And if Young not playing, that doesn't help the situation off at all. That's why this point spread has basically stayed at 16.5.
We're going to talk to Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champion, Saints pregame and postgame host this hour about that black and gold matchup with the Bills. At 5:10, Evie Van Pelt, publisher of The Rebel Walk. Oh, yeah, we got a big top 13 matchup, Ole Miss, LSU Saturday.
Well, I know Evie's happy this time. I don't know how she'll be happy Saturday, but she's happy this time of the year.
We'll also talk to you in the 5 o'clock hour, Mike, D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
He's not happy.
Falcons beat writer. Why are we talking to him? Well, we'll wallow in some of the TL's misery right now because, boy, are things a mess over there.
You fired a receivers coach because your play calling's lousy? Okay. Ike Hilliard didn't call the plays for you.
Yeah.
Okay, Zach Robinson did. This sounds to me like...
And now you got the quarterback shuffle going on,
yeah,
too.
Like somebody above said, hey, you gotta get them receivers more involved. I blame that on Ike. Hey, and listen, I'm going to take up for Ike. Ike's a guy from on the bayou. Grew up on Patterson, Louisiana, and he left to go to Florida. But, man, he was a hell of a player at Florida in the NFL. He knows how to coach receivers. To me, that's a lot more wrong in Atlanta than the receivers coach messing things up.
Shuffling on out to break here at the Treasure Chest Casino for weekend kickoff. We shall return with even more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vic. Here's Kane in the pipe. Oh, and it's rolling inside the five, and it is going to be covered by the Saints for a touchdown. Oh, baby. What a moment. Just listen to this crowd.
Yes, indeed. Back here on Weekend Kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino. That was 19 years ago today, folks. Jim Henderson, Hokie Gaijon on the call, the reopening of the Superdome, and man, oh man, that play is such an iconic moment in Saints history against the Atlanta Falcons, too. What do you know?
On that Monday night, to open it back up to see it, you know, Gleason makes that play, and Curtis Deloche comes up with the fumble.
You can feel just that fan base unleashing all the frustrations and just emotions out there.
It's the loudest I've ever heard the dome. ever
right.
heard it. People ask me, other than that, it was the NFC Championship game.
Hartley kick.
The Hartley kick was really, really loud. But it was in the first quarter, Saints-Rams. The okay. Saints came up with a big turnover. And, man, it almost felt like everything was sort of moving under you. We were really crammed in that press box that day. It was really tight. But then they had pieces of cement that had come from the top that was falling onto the floor. Man, it was loud that day. We didn't like the way it ended with that no call. But, Gleason's block and, you know, Curtis Deloach coming up with the block punt. And that was something special. You always remember that. But that, to me, is the loudest I have ever heard the dome for a Saints game.
It was truly rocking in there. When they say, you know, the electric atmosphere, that's the NFC Championship, and, yeah, the Gleason punt makes me think of that.
Yeah, the NFC Championship game was fun now because, man, that had a lot of twists and turns.
That was my first year, Mike, covering the Saints.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Then, damn. You gave
I was spurled.
You gave him a little bit of luck, but then what's happened the last couple of years? They're going to have to get your butt back on the sideline.
No, but, Mike, no, unfortunately, then my first year on the sideline was the no call.
Oh, well, then, stay where you at.
Yeah, I was all dancing, thinking I'm going to the Super Bowl, and that didn't happen.
But then stay where you at. Yeah, you think about it, man, because Hartley – because the way the game had went, you know, Minnesota, they had a couple chances, and Brett did what he normally does, throw across his body.
I get goosebumps thinking about it, and, man. That was it was the best game I've attended.
And Tracy Porter undercuts it, makes the interception, and then you get that chance, and Hartley kicks it, and then it was right down, you know, right down Broadway. It was right down the middle.
That moment, too, you know, we were in, like, the media holding pen waiting for the post game to get to the podium and the locker room stuff. And when that field goal went through, just the contingent of media, you're supposed to be impartial, not
yeah.
cheering. And even the media folks, everyone erupted with joy because, holy cow, the Saints are going to the Super Bowl, folks.
And the crazy part about it is, you know, this is sort of later in the day now. It's not early. It's later in the day, man. It was Bobby's emotion. He always talks about it too, man. He was crying like a baby.
I remember on the Spanish radio broadcast,
yeah,
he was bawling.
Marco got me to do it first, and he was like, get Bobby to come. And so I told him, I said, come see. And he was just wiping his eyes. And I said, listen, they want you to do something on the Spanish radio. He said, man, I can't speak Spanish. I said, you can't speak English too, but it's okay. Just get on there and tell them what you saw. And he broke down. I mean, broke down talking about it. And so
awesome
the emotions
day.
Of
yeah.
that day is there. And I can remember Hokie coming out, and he came and gave me a big hug. He said, well, we made it. It's almost there. You say your boy would have been happy. He would either had to put the dress on.
Yeah, right.
So Abear had to put the dress on.
19 years ago today, folks, the reopening of the Superdome, that Steve Gleason block punt, Saints making their trip. To the Super Bowl in 2009 as well. We were talking about the Super Bowl. The guy that knows about that, linebacker Scott Shanley.
Good
he'll
up.
Be joining us, breaking things down. Buffalo versus Saints coming up this weekend. Be back with more at the Treasure Chest Casino. Weekend kickoff here on WWL right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike and Steve here on the Treasure Chest Casino Weekend Kickoff Edition as we're inside the Game Barter and Grill. Counting down to Thursday Night Football this evening, Seattle at Arizona. Big NFC West matchup going to be starting week four action. But we got on the line right now with us the Super Bowl champ and Saints pregame and postgame analyst Scott Shanley joining us here. And we played the highlight going into last segment, Scott. 19 years ago today, believe it or not, was the reopening of the Superdome and that faithful block punt against the Atlanta Falcons on Monday Night Football. Hard to believe, man, 19 years have gone by that fast.
And Scott had just got here.
Right,
Scott
exactly.
Been here, what, about a month, Scott?
Yeah. I just rolled into Jackson, Mississippi, and I was probably just looking for homes at that time. Gleason's blocking punts, getting statues outside the dome, and I'm looking for homes. I just got there.
Scott, in your time playing, would you have somebody to compare Josh Allen to?
You know, when I watch Josh, there was a thing on Twitter a couple months ago, and they, you know, back in the Pro Bowl days, they used to have the guys race and they had the quarterback competitions. And I was watching, you know, they used to have the golf carts with the moving targets and the quarterbacks throwing the ball. And I watched Dan Marino rip the ball. I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks just like Josh Allen. Same throwing motion, same rocket arm. So I think there's a lot of similarities I see with Dan Marino and Josh Allen, but Josh Allen is playing at a level right now that it's hard. I think it'd be hard for a lot of GMs not to call him the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He's just spectacular. When you look at just the team around him, I think they have good players. I do. I think they have good coaches. You take Josh Allen off that team wins six games. I just think he is unreal.
When you watch their defense, Scott, it's sort of leaky. And we did the Louisiana line camp, and Ryan Nielsen, who was with the Saints, he was their former defensive line coach now. I think he's a defensive assistant. I know he works with the linebackers and the defensive line. I asked him, what were you most concerned about? And he brought up to me immediately, I'm concerned about the secondary. He said, because we've got a lot of new faces there. We used our first-round pick on a corner, young man from Kentucky. Trey White's coming back. But he said, you know, Trey's had a series of injuries. But teams have gashed the Bills running the ball. Even the Dolphins, come on, they're no great shakes running the ball by any stretch of the imagination. They average 5.2 yards a carry. I think the Bills are a tsunami team on offense. They hit you, and they hit you so hard, and they jump on you quick. But their defense is not what I would say a top-flight defense. They're really carried by Josh Allen, James Cook. They got great tight ends. Their offensive line's really good, and a solid core of receivers.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment completely. And I've always kind of laughed the last few years when everybody says Josh Allen can't beat Mahomes, he can't beat so and so in the playoffs. And I'm sitting there saying, no, just Josh Allen also doesn't have the defense that some of these other teams do. I think defensively, there's a lot to be desired if you're a Bills fan. And like you said, you just kind of hope that Josh and the offense play so well that the defense doesn't really have to be a big factor in the game. They're okay if, like you said, the offense can get up 14 points and now they can just worry about playing cover two every play. But I think the Saints, you know, being 15, 16-point underdogs, I think they have a great chance to go up to Buffalo, control the tempo of the game, and, you know, you certainly cannot do what you did last week on the road where you don't play well on the special teams, you have tons of penalties. If you can just clean up those two things, I think you'll be able to run the ball on Buffalo enough. But the defense is going to have to find a way to get a couple takeaways because you're not going to be able to match, you know, points for points with that offense because they're obviously the more talented offense.
Scott, is that the biggest key for this game, the run game for the black and gold? Alvin Kamara, Kendra Miller, trying to keep Josh Allen and that Bills offense off the field and just, you know, long sustained drives and controlling the clock.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a little bit of frustrating watching the Saints this year, you know, when you look at it, it felt like they probably could have run the ball outside of the Seattle game. The Seattle game got away from them. They had to drop back and throw the ball 40 times. But, you know, Arizona, you know, 45 pass attempts by Spencer, probably could have ran the ball more in that game because it was never really out of control. And then the 49ers game, when they commit to run the football, they run the ball effectively. I think Alvin's looked really good. I think Kendra with him is a good two-headed monster, and the offensive line is getting healthier. I think the success of this offense can really be had by sticking with the run and committing to the running game. And the running game just helps your defense that much more because I think you're starting to see some more weaknesses on this Saints defense. I think the running game can really be the best thing that this team does all year.
Scott, one of the things on defense, and I told this to Bob, not only do they not have an interception, it doesn't look like they've come close to coming up with an interception. There's so much gap between the receiver and the defensive backs. And you give a guy like Allen that little bit of opening, man, he's going to pick you apart. You got to be able to play stickier coverage up against the Bills, but not getting the turnovers. You know, you did get one with a fumble recovery, but, man, that to me in football is sometimes overlooked on that giveaway-takeaway ratio. It plays such a big part in winning and losing a game that you got to be able to force turnovers.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, you watch high school games or college games, and some of these offenses are getting 90 plays a game, 100 plays a game. That doesn't happen in the NFL. The NFL, you're only getting so many shots at this football. The games move fast. And if you get a takeaway or two here or there and add some points, you're giving yourself a tremendous advantage to winning a football game. And I think that really is the key for the Saints defense, is they got to find a way to be more disruptive, more ball disruption. They're near the bottom of the league in pressure rate. I've always just kind of lived, and maybe probably because I grew up in the Greg Williams mindset and the Dennis Allen mindset after that, is we're going to play man, we're going to get in your face, and we're going to blitz. And we're going to get the ball to come out so fast that you don't have to cover very long. Now, there's downsides to that. You miss a tackle, it's a house call. You don't play it right in coverage, it's feast or famine sometimes. But for me, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die going down bringing the house. And I think the Saints defense has to be more aggressive with that mindset and bring more pressure.
Scott, I imagine you had a few times, or at least once, that you played at Buffalo. Curious your thoughts on that atmosphere there. I know it's the
ain't gonna be cold this year.
No, not that, and then also the last season of that other stadium, the other one being built right next door.
Scott, here's the crazy thing. You know the Bills-Saints game is a hot ticket. You know why? The Bills rarely play at 12 noon Central or 1 Eastern. They, you know, because when you're a really good team like Buffalo, they got you at, 2:30 in the afternoon, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursdays. So it's a rare deal that they play in Buffalo and at noontime. And so it's become a hot ticket in Buffalo to get.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think every game should be a hot ticket for this Buffalo team, because they were my preseason pick to be in the Super Bowl. I like them and the Ravens to come out of the AFC. Yeah, I think it's all lined up there for them to have a special year and exit this stadium. I know there's been a lot of heartbreak in Buffalo with 4 Super Bowl losses, been close the last few years and lost to Mahomes and not got it quite done. So they have an opportunity, and I think their opportunity is this. It's getting the number one seed, making everything go through Buffalo. Because, yes, right now, perfect chance. Nobody wants to go up there in January. And I think with Kansas City being a little bit down, the AFC West being a tough division, they're going to knock each other around a little bit. I think Buffalo, you want to go to the Super Bowl, you want to accomplish everything, and you want to wrap this thing up right with that stadium in the last year, you got to get the number one seed.
It was crazy is what would happen. It comes down to the end. Chargers and Buffalo for home field advantage. You talk about a dichotomy of playing in L.A., you know, in late January, or playing in Buffalo in late January. You talk about a difference. Yeah. That's a big difference.
Absolutely it is, and I'll tell you what, if it comes down to that, and I don't dispute it could come down to that. The Chargers are a really good team. What's crazy, after this week, the Ravens and the Chiefs play, Mahomes or Lamar is going to be 1-3. That's unheard of. So that's why I say it's a great opportunity, a great time to be try to get that number one seed if you're Buffalo or the Chargers. But, heck, you know what? Buffalo, they're going to have home field advantage either way. If they go out to L.A., they'll probably bring all the crowd noise anyway, so they're just going to have nicer weather to do it in L.A.
Scott, what's been your impression of the rest of the NFC South? Obviously, Tampa Bay looks to be in solid control of that spot in first place, being 3-0. But right now, the Saints, you know, trailing the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons, but both of those franchises have been having their troubles, too.
Two words, Baker Mayfield. Right. Man, that sucker can play, dude. Man, he can play.
Yeah. You look at, you know, obviously the Saints signed Derek Carr and Tampa went out and got Baker, and Baker's been unreal for them. He's been a true franchise quarterback, and rarely do you ever go out and find somebody in free agency and just kind of pick over and off the trash heap and find yourself a productive player at that position. But Baker's been unbelievable. And, you know, I think Jason Light, their GM, has done a really good job since he's been there. Obviously they got lucky with Brady choosing to go there. But he's done a good job of identifying the type of players he wants, and Coach Bowles has done a good job. I've known Todd for a long time. He was in Dallas with me. So they have a profile for the players they like. They've benefited from being in a weaker division. I think the NFC South has been down compared to what it's been And, you know, even that, that kind of makes it a little more frustrating that the Saints aren't winning, because I think the NFC South isn't a great division. You just need to throw together some good wins, and you have a chance to win this division, because, you know, Bryce Young hasn't been very good. Now the quarterback situation in Atlanta looks up in the air as far as their confidence in him. So never been a better time to win the NFC South.
Scott, the crazy thing is, and Eileen Heitnik, who was in Baton Rouge for quite some time, covering the Saints, and then she went back home to Tampa. She said on the final drive, as the offense goes on the field, the chant went up, you know, in Tampa, Baker, Baker, Baker. She said it was deafening. And she said, I just think about the day they signed him. 95% of, if you did call-in radio, was against it. Now, she said, now everybody, oh, I was for Baker from the start. I mean, you know how fans are. I was for Baker from the start. I knew he'd be like this. And she said, it's just amazing how the transformation of Baker Mayfield. And, Scott, I think he's been the difference in the NFC South. The Bucs aren't going to be that good if Baker doesn't win those games. And people say, well, it's a team game. Oh, yeah, it is. But you got to have a special talent at the most important position, and he's been able to do that for him. And, man, he's got a good running game with Irving. Their receivers are good. I know Evans is going to miss some time, but it looks as though Godwin potentially could play this week. If not this week, he'll be back real soon. And that Abuka guy from Ohio State can sure play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of laughed at you said nobody wanted him there. Listen, following Tom Brady is a hard thing to do. And that's what's impressed me the most with Baker is they've won games, they've been competitive, and he gives them a chance to win every week. And that's what you want from that position. When you step on the field on Sunday, everybody in your locker room, everybody in your fan base says, we have a chance today, no matter who we're playing, because we have that guy, whoever it is playing quarterback. And so Baker's been outstanding. He brings a lot of energy. You can tell he's the leader of the team. The team galvanized around him. And it's been really special to watch what he did, kind of resurrecting his career after Cleveland gave up on him probably way too early.
Give us your assessment of the play this year from Pete Warner. Because, you know, Pete was a guy, I think he was disappointed in maybe how things turned out last year for himself personally. But your thoughts on Warner this year for the Saints defensively?
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody that did another radio show, and they asked me who the best defensive player on the Saints has been this year over three games, cumulative. And I said, without a doubt, number 20. I think I've watched all the coaches' tape from the last three games, and he's been everywhere. I mean, he is all over the field. He's been one of the most productive. It's not leading tackler in two of the three games. He'll miss a couple tackles here or there, but it's because he's to the ball all the time. He's flying around. He's playing with a lot of energy. He's staying pretty healthy. So I think over the three games, he's been the most active player. He's looking to hit somebody every single play. And, you know, Granders, a very productive player. He's a lot of sacks. I think Pete's been really good in just showing up every week, just being who are we going to get this week? Oh, we're going to get 10 tackles out of number 20. And he's been everywhere.
Scott, always awesome talking to you. Thanks so much. What do you do for road games? I know, obviously, we won't be again in the Dome this weekend.
Yeah, for road games, I'm still in New Orleans, so we do our pregame and postgame shows from the Saints studio. So still doing the same thing, just doing it from the studio.
Just keep Verrett in line now. You know what I mean? You can't let him can't let him snowball you on stuff. Now you got to watch him, Scott.
There you go.
Who dat, Scott? Thanks again for your time, man.
Yep, no problem, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott Szanley, a Super Bowl champ, the Saints pregame and postgame analyst. We're going to take a break here on our weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino and shall return with even more right after this on WWL. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino, and if you join Boyd Rewards at the Treasure Chest, play up to $300 on them. Simply sign up at Treasure Chest, play on their new Boyd Rewards card at your favorite slot machines, table games, and earn up to $300 in Boyd play. Voted the number one, not number two and number three, number one players club.
You stole that line.
By USA Today. Join Boyd Rewards today. Start experiencing exceptional rewards and offers. Coming up next hour, folks, we're going to get into some of the Saints opposition. I mean, the LSU opposition. Evie Van Pelt, publisher of The Rebel Walk, will join us as we break down that game at Ole Miss on Saturday.
It's a big one.
Yeah, that's a
two of them. Think about it. 2:30, you got LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia.
Ooh-wee.
You know what Kirby Smart's record is against Alabama?
Hit me.
1-6.
Damn. I know Georgia's been lethal at home, though.
Yeah, but not against Alabama. And last year, you know, everybody thought this was going to be Kirby's year. You don't have to go up against Nick. Uh-uh. It didn't happen.
Top of the hour news up next. We shall be back with more Weekend Kickoff after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.